Okay, folks, we're all set to get ourselves on the way here now in lesson number 6 in our basic series of studies entitled Biblical Earth Science and Astronomy. I'll have you take your Bibles here now and turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 14. We have an awful lot of verses that we're going to try and look at in this hour as we deal with what we indicated at the end of the last lesson that we would be focusing upon in this lesson, which is the fact that when God went about forming the earth for habitation, especially for His habitation, over the course of the 6 days of creation and making and forming and shaping and so forth there, that He went about and replicated His environment in the third heaven upon the earth, consistent with the plan and purpose that He has for the earth, to establish His residence on it, bring His chambers, His building complex that He's built and established in the third heaven, down to the earth and set Him upon the beams of the chambers He laid in the waters that are located in the land of Israel. And we saw the fact, or I pointed out to you, I should say, the fact that the shaping and forming and environmental decoration and so forth work that He goes through in those 6 days of creation and making, that's what happens. He replicates His environment on the earth. And that's why when you go through the scriptures and you're dealing with passages that talk about the issue of things taking place, well, let me take the sign off here. I keep on forgetting to do that shortly after the beginning of every session. That's though, folks, why when you're dealing with passages that describe things in the third heaven or things about the third heaven, although you don't have a passage in the Bible which God comes along and dedicates a description to what the third heaven is like. And oftentimes people get the idea that God doesn't say very much about what His abode in the third heaven is like, and that we really can't understand very much at all. But that's really not the case at all. If you understand and appreciate the things God says about the earth and His plan and purpose for the earth, you understand and appreciate that the earth looks like the third heaven. Now, granted, right now, the way things are on the earth and what we see and everything, we see the blight of what man has done, and the blight that's produced by the corruption of sin and so forth, and the earth is in the bondage of corruption in connection with sin, and it suffers some things in connection with judgments from God in the past, and will suffer some horrible things in connection with judgments from God in the day of His wrath. And there really has been a drastic change in the earth, and even the heavens around the earth, following the time of the flood, and we'll have opportunity, hopefully, to say some things in connection with that. But though the appearance and environment and everything of the earth has been effaced by the effects of sin and corruption, and the satanic plan of evil on this earth, and so forth, there it hasn't been erased. And God's original plan and purpose for the earth will go ahead and will be fulfilled. And there's still enough of the image of heaven on the earth for that issue to for us to have an appreciation for what the third heaven is like by an appreciation for what God did when He created the earth and replicated His environment on it. And what I was saying there a moment ago was that's why when you're dealing with passages that do talk about things in the third heaven, especially passages like Revelation 21, as we'll be spending some time on just a few minutes, talking about the heavenly Jerusalem and what it looks like and everything. John sees it come down from heaven, out of God from heaven, and set up on the earth. And setting us up on the beams of the chambers there and everything like that. But that city, whose builder and maker is God, was built and made in the third heaven there. But John doesn't describe it having being made out of materials that he has no capacity to appreciate. Oh, it's made out of materials that exist here on the earth also. And those materials existed there in the third heaven before God created the earth. When He created the earth in connection with being the place for His residence in the midst of creation, He created the earth with materials and everything that are commensurate with what He's got up there in the third heaven. And that when He went about to shape and form and form the earth to be inhabited by Himself and so forth, and suitable for His residence to come down on it, He took those elements and everything and produced the same kind of environment He's got up there with Himself in the third heaven. Those are the kind of things I want us to take a look at here in the bulk of what we are going to cover in this lesson here right now. So I had you turn to Isaiah chapter 14 to get ourselves underway here. One of the features that we noted last time in Psalm 95 and Proverbs chapter 8 there in Psalm 90 in connection with when God's hands were forming the dry land, one of the features we noted was the issue of Him bringing forth the hills and making the mountains there and everything. And that's a very distinguishable feature. But mountains, folks, exist in the third heaven with God. Here's a passage once again that indicates that. Isaiah chapter 14, and look with me beginning in verse 12 and down through verse 14 here. This passage here, Isaiah chapter 14, sets forth a song type thing, a victory song, and a taunting proverb type issue that Israel, when God fulfills His program and purpose with them and defeats all their enemies, especially defeats Satan and his plan of evil on this earth, it's going to be something that Israel, redeemed Israel, says to old Lucifer in that day. And they're going to rehearse for him what he said in his heart that he would do in connection with when he formulated his plan of evil long, long ago, before Genesis 3 ever took place and so forth. And they're going to point out the fact that he hasn't brought any of that to pass. And instead of getting that, he's going to be brought down to the sides of the pit. And there stand, the redeemed of Israel are going to stand there at the opening of the pit and everything and watch that strong angel there of Revelation 20 bind him and send him down. Before he goes down, they say these things to him. But in what they say to him, like I said, they remind him of what he originally said he was going to do. And when he talks about his plan of evil, when he originally formulated and everything, after he had been removed from his position as the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God there in the third heaven, he talked about ascending into heaven and getting back into that realm there and everything and establishing himself on three thrones in connection with the same three thrones that God himself sits on and make himself like the Most High. Well, the interesting thing as far as what we're concerned with right now is that one of those thrones, he says, is on a mountain. He's not talking about a mountain on the earth. He's talking about a mountain in the third heaven. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. He ascends into heaven, he says, and then he talks about sitting in three different places. And then in connection with doing that, the end result will be, I'll be like the Most High. Now, the Most High is up there in the third heaven, and the Most High has three thrones up there in connection with the three persons of the Godhead. And he's going to set up his three thrones, and he's going to be like the Most High. But he's going to do that in heaven, not on the earth. He's going to do that in heaven. One of those thrones, he says, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now, there's two issues there that are really fascinating, the sides of the north and everything, but the one I'm after right now is I'm going to sit upon the mount of the congregation. This throne he's going to set up, the position in which God's is on a mountain. In fact, the mountain has a name. It's called the Mount of the Congregation. This is a mountain where the angels congregate. You know, over in the book of Job, and it talks about the day when all the sons of God come before God, and Satan even had to come with them. But that congregation of the angels, of all the sons of God, takes place in the third heaven. Satan has to leave the earth and go there, as he says. It doesn't take place on the earth. That congregation takes place at a mountain in the third heaven. God has a throne sit there, a throne of accountability. They have to come in and give an account of themselves and answer questions as stewards would do. But the point, once again, is there's a mountain there. God's got just not one, there's more, but there's this particular one here. If there wasn't more than one mountain, there'd be no need to name the mountain, the Mount of the Congregation. The fact that it's named the Mount of the Congregation indicates that there's other mountains up there with other names. And other things take place at those mountains. This one is the one that the angels congregate at. But the point, once again, is there's a mountain up there. God had a mountain up there before he had finished the 6 days of creation on the earth, in which, beginning from day three, he was shaping the dry land. And the reason why he brings forth mountains and hills and shapes them on the earth is because he's got mountains and hills and everything up there with himself in the third heaven. He's replicating his environment down here, folks, like he's got up there. And the mountains are made out of rocks and elemental components of soil and so forth, all of the earth. Same thing up there. In fact, come over to Ezekiel chapter 28 for a moment here. Ezekiel chapter 28. Now, some issues here in Ezekiel 28 that are oftentimes misunderstood. Though oftentimes people recognize, and rightly so, that the king of Tyrus here is Satan himself, and he was functioning in the guise of the king of Tyrus at this time, and the Lord particularly addresses him as such, and then deals with him in connection with who he originally was, and so forth, the anointed cherub of the covenant. Though people recognize Satan's origin here and everything, and what he was as an anointed cherub before iniquity was found in him. Oftentimes, though, when God describes him before he fell, and mentions the issue of the Garden of God, Eden, and so forth there, that all they think about is the Garden of God, Eden on the earth. And I'm not saying there wasn't the Garden of God, Eden on the earth. I mean, it was there, and plain and clear, as described in those opening three chapters of Genesis. But the issue here is the Garden of God and Eden on the earth is created there in the 6 days of creation. What the reason why it's named that, and why it's created that, and why the garden's there and everything is because it was a replication of what God had up there. And we'll see that a little later on. But my point here is that when Satan's described as being in Eden in the Garden of God and talks about the stones of fire and the holy mountain and everything, it's in the third heaven. Now, that's a passage that has a lot to say about similarities of environment, features, elements, and so forth in the third heaven as on the earth. And we'll be coming back here again in a little bit. But right now, come on down here in the passage, if you would. Begin in verse 11 is where the passage begins. Come on down to verse 14 here, though. It says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth." That's what Satan was once again. "I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God." That was another mountain in the third heaven. That's the mountain where God was worshipped at. The throne of his worship, the holy mountain, the throne of his worship was at that mountain. The Mount of the Congregation was another one. But the throne of his worship was on the holy mountain of God. That's in the third heaven also. And then it goes on and says, "And thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." Stones of fire. Now, they're real stones, but they're stones of fire. Lucifer, before he sinned, as the anointed cherub that covered that throne and produced the envelope of grandeur and magnificence around that throne and leading angelic worship of God and so forth, he had a privilege of walking up and down in the midst of those things, walking up and down in the midst of those things. You're going up and down. There's some verticality? Is that a good word? I don't know. But he walks up and down. It goes up that holy mountain and goes down and up it and down. But the stones there. Well, the stones on the earth, the stones up there. In fact, as I said, we'll come back to this passage in a little bit and go back to verse 13 there, and we'll see some mighty precious stones that were Lucifer's covering. He had that covering up there in the third heaven. Those precious stones exist on the earth too, but they exist up there. In fact, since we're talking about the stones and everything, why don't we, while we are here, just talk about that, and then we'll go over to another passage which precious stones are mentioned again. They're part of that heavenly Jerusalem that God built. He built and made it up there in the third heaven, and the precious stones are there. Emeralds, rubies, diamonds, gold, silver. Of course, gold and silver metals, I realize that, but I'm just talking about the general issue there. They don't only exist on the earth. They exist up there in the third heaven. But they especially exist on the earth because they do exist on the third heaven. Reason why is because God created the earth for his residence. And that heavenly Jerusalem is made out of those materials, and the environment that he has around him is made out of those kind of materials. He duplicates here on the earth. in preparation for taking up his residence on it. Look at some of those things back there in verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, like I said, we'll see, I'll show you my understanding and appreciation of the fact that that's the Eden, the garden of God in the third heaven. The one that's spoken about in Genesis chapter 2 there. He replicates that on the earth. That heavenly Jerusalem complex is sitting in Eden. And he sets up Eden on the earth and everything in preparation for bringing that thing down. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. And it's interesting, God, in connection with creation, covered himself with light as doth a garment. And then he gave one special creature, the anointed cherub, the one full of wisdom and beauty, as he said, the one that sealed up the sum, the one full of wisdom, perfect in beauty back there in verse, he gave him a covering he had made for him, a covering he had made for him out of the materials his own residence was made out of. Interesting issue. Every precious stone was thy covering. A whole bunch of stones are going to be listed here that we have no way of knowing what they are, right? No. Every one of those precious stones and the gold that's mentioned last and everything, they're common here on the earth. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond. The beryl, the onyx, and the jasper. The sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle. And gold. They're common earthly precious stones. They're common heavenly, third heavenly precious stones also. And the reason why they're common earthly precious stones is because the purpose of the earth for the God of heaven. Also notice it says, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. The workmanship, man. God did some handiwork and everything, and the tabrets and the pipes, the musical instruments and everything, that Satan was going to be able to envelop the throne of God in both visual glory and audible glory. And they're made out of metals. Tabrets and pipes and everything. And their workmanship, just like a metal fabricator, goldsmith, silversmith, coppersmith, that type of thing. Worked them. God prepared them. He tuned them. Set it for the music he wanted. They said that the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He was prepared in thee. Who's put wisdom on the inward parts? God put wisdom in, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. And Lucifer had the wisdom to play those instruments in a way that glorified God. And that was a sweet sound to him. And that brought out that same thing in the angels to the glory of God. That guy's got a powerful capacity with music. And he's got a powerful capacity for evil with music in his fallen state also. And he knows that. But my purpose right now, once again, is those stones in particular. Take this issue now. Come with me, if you would, over to the book of the Revelation. Revelation, once again, chapter 21, next to the last chapter. Let's look at this heavenly Jerusalem a little closer here now. Purpose of God establishes residence on the earth. Purpose of the earth is for his residence. He lays the beams of his chambers in the waters. They're in the land of Israel there. The fulfillment of God's plan and purpose with Israel as the agency for the administration of his righteous rule on and over this earth. He's going to bring his residence down onto the earth in the land of Israel there. Abraham understands and appreciates that. He's looking for the city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It's going to come. God's prepared the city. It's going to make it the heavenly country when it comes. And when the kingdom's ready is established and the final mandate for the Davidic covenant is ready to go into effect, everything is seen as Ezekiel sees it there. Ezekiel chapter 4, the frame for the city is there, but the city isn't there. But then the city comes down, and John sees it coming down. And look what he sees. Verse 9, and there came unto me, chapter 21, verse 9, there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the last seven plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, same one Ezekiel was at, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And then it's asked to describe the issues in it that are the resplendency and the magnificence once again of God's glory. It's got the glory of God because it's commensurate with His being and with His residence and with His occupation of it. And but the thing I'm after right now once again is that it's made out of third heaven materials. And when it comes down, John's able to describe that thing, and it's got materials that the earth's got also. Having the glory of God, verse 11, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, he's using the word like there right now. He doesn't come along and say that it is a jasper stone or anything, but he is going to come along and say that certain features of it are that. But right now, he's able to see it as a building. He's able to see that it's got a stone structure to it. He's able to see that it's got clarity to it as a crystal. Verse 12, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Once again, it's the fulfillment of God's plan and purpose with Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and the west 3 gates. A lot of interesting features to this, folks. I'm after the materials right now, and that's what we're going to focus upon. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. By that's why in Hebrews 11, Abraham looked for a city that hath foundations, plural, whose builder and maker is God. And in them, that's also why back in Isaiah chapter 54 there, talks about God garnishing and building Jerusalem's foundations and so forth. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and then the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city. And the gates thereof, and the wall. Now, this is an angel that's talking with John. As he said back there, one of the angels came and talked to him once again. He's going to show him the Lamb's wife, and he's identified as an angel as you go down and see the dimensions of the city there in verse 17. But I want you to notice that this angel has come down with it, and he's got a golden reed to measure the city. This thing's gold. Now, he brought that thing with him from the third heaven. We'll see in a few minutes, we'll go back in the book of the Revelation, when John's in the third heaven there and everything. Gold's all over the place. Gold's probably the most common element there. The most common metal, anyway, let's put it that way. Water's actually probably the most common element, or compound of elements there. But gold's probably the most common metal there. This guy's got a golden reed. He's got a reed, interestingly enough. You know, a reed comes from a plant. To measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And he measures it there in verse 16. And come on down to verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. Not just like it. It was of jasper. Jasper is a stone. That's just as I said back there in verse 11, like a jasper stone. But the wall was jasper. John didn't say the wall looked like it. The wall was similar to it. The wall, I went up and tapped on it and everything like that. We looked as close as I could. Man, this thing appears to be jasper. I really don't know if it is or not. It was jasper. There's jasper stone out there. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Now, maybe we can't get gold down here to be like unto clear glass. But the issue was the city was pure gold. And the gold has the capacity to be like clear glass. Maybe we can't do that right now. We'll be able to when the Lord establishes His kingdom down here. But the city was pure gold. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. By the way, notice that the foundations of the wall of the city were what? Garnished with all manner of precious stones. We're looking at the precious stones once again. But there's that word garnished again. We ran into it back in Job. And then when he's garnished the heavens. And we saw the issue of the decoration and the beautification of an environment with that concept. And here's his own residence. Here's his chambers with its foundations and everything. And he's garnished it. It's garnished on the inside also, but on the outside it's garnished. And it's got a resplendency and a beauty and a glory to it and everything when you see before you ever get into it. The second sapphire. Well, the first foundation was jasper. The second sapphire. We know what sapphire is. The third, a chalcedony. You may not know exactly what that means. You can look it up in a dictionary. You'll have it explained to you what it was. The fourth, an emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, a topaz. The tenth, chrysoprasus. You can read it. The 11th, a jacinth. The 12th, an amethyst. We know what those stones are. John's will come along and say, man, these things have the appearance of, but I'm not too sure it's exactly what they are, but I'm just going to say that's what they are. And say that. He says, that's what they were. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. You know what a pearl is. Every several gate was of one pearl. These are big pearls, but they're pearls. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. Gold, once again. All these precious stones. God built and made this city out there. Those materials exist out there. And not just in this city. Like I said, we'll go back into the book of the Revelation a little earlier on. John's taken into God's throne room there, and he sees these things in them. And he sees gold all over the place. He sees other things, too, that have a counterpart on this earth. Things that we're familiar with. Well, in similar manner to what we saw a few moments ago with Lucifer's covering, before he sent up there, he said, those precious stones and everything. And they're precious stones that exist on the earth. Well, look at some of the metals once again. We've mentioned the gold here, and I mentioned what's earlier on. Come back, if you would, here into the book of the Revelation. Come back into chapter 4 here. Revelation chapter 4. John's once again, he's taken into, he's going to go through the door, one of the entrances once again, one of the openings, through the curtain, into God's presence. That door is made of something, by the way. It's not described what it's made of, but it's made of something. John goes through it. Verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He's looking at God the Father's throne there, in God's throne room, in a particular building in the third heaven. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper. Now, he wasn't a jasper and a sardine stone, but his appearance, now you got the lake concept. And John's very particular, or the Holy Spirit through John's very particular, when an analogy or a likeness is being drawn, and says that stuff's not used over there in Revelation 21, you know the materials really are those things. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. A rainbow round about the throne. That's interesting, there's rainbows. Or at least one rainbow in the third heaven. You know, I wonder why back in Genesis chapter 9, following the flood, God said that he set his bow in the cloud. His bow in the cloud. You know, God's got a bow. He's got a rainbow around his throne. This one, though, in sight like unto an emerald. Verse 4, and round about the throne were 24 seats. No, there are thrones there, there are seats there. You know, John sees things in the third heaven that he's very familiar with. He doesn't come along and say, these guys were sitting on something, but I don't know what in the world you'd call this thing. Now, we got some pieces of furniture today that don't look much like any. You see some of these ergonomic chairs they have for people that work at computers and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you first look at that thing and you don't think that thing's a seat at all. At least to me, I don't. John doesn't have any trouble describing these things. He saw saw that thing. And he sees around about the throne 24 seats. And upon the seats, he knows those things are different than the throne. He doesn't call them thrones. And I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. These things were wearing clothes. We're going to see what that raiment's made out of in a few minutes here. And they had on their heads crowns of something that looked like gold, but I can't be too sure it really was. Well, they had on their heads crowns of gold. And also say they had on their heads lumps of gold. This gold was fabricated into crowns. It's got ornate filigree and everything to it, like a crown does, shaped to around a head. You know, there was some craftsmanship involved in that. Someone worked with that metal and made those things. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Oh man, we got lightnings and thunderings on this earth. Ever wonder why the thunderings and lightnings are spoken about in connection with God's voice and aspects of an appreciation for his presence by Job and Elihu and others? They had an appreciation for the fact that there's a duplication of that concept on the earth here in connection with what's going on up there and what exists up there in God's presence in his third heaven, the heaven of his abode. Thunderings and lightnings and thunderings. Must be some clouds up there too. Wow. Wasn't that fascinating back there in Isaiah chapter 14 when Satan said, I'm gonna ascend above the heights of the clouds. He's talking about something up there in the third heaven. Clouds shouldn't be much of a surprise when you talk about rainbows and thunderings and lightnings. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And you got lamps of fire burning. You got something that's combustible there. I don't think it's a far-fetched thing to think of an atmosphere that supports combustion. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Now, the thing is, a sea of glass, it's like unto crystal. That's how clear it is. But it's glass. You know what glass is made of? Sand, silicon dioxide. The sea of glass, you kind of expect sand around a sea, don't you? And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And we'll get to those creatures, those cherubim there, in a little bit. Right now we're dealing with kind of like materials. And you got glass. You've got gold once again. You've got combustible materials. You got the sand with the glass issue. And those are things we have on the earth here. Those are things that exist up there also. Hold your place here in Revelation. We'll be coming back here in just a minute. Let's see the issue of the waters that exist in the third heaven. Hold your place, like I said, in Revelation chapter 4 here. Come back to Psalm 148. Psalm 148. The next to the last psalm in the book of the Psalms. It's a psalm calling upon creation to praise God in connection with him fulfilling his original plan and purpose for creation, which is what he's going to be doing when his residence is established on this earth, and he's ruling and reigning from this earth, and heaven's business is being done from this earth. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights. Now, that's the call. And now, beginning in verse 2 and down through verse 6, the psalmist is going to delineate things in the heavens and in the heights that are going to be praising the Lord in the day he's reigning and ruling on this earth and fulfilling his original plan and purpose for the earth and conducting heaven's business from the earth. And then beginning in verse 7, he says, praise the Lord from the earth. And then the things that follow are earthly things that'll be praising the Lord. From verse 1 through verse 6, it's praising things praising him from the heavens. Verses 7 and following, it's the things from the earth praising. That's important to understand because he's going to talk about some waters which be above the heavens in those first 6 verses. And that's not a reference to the clouds around the earth or anything along those lines. That's a reference to waters that are up there in the third heaven. Verse 2, praise ye him all his angels, praise ye him all his hosts, praise ye him sun and moon, praise him all ye stars of light, praise him ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. The heavens of heavens is the second heaven, closed firmament of the second heaven there with its further breakdown, which we haven't looked at yet. And then, praise ye him, ye waters that be above the heavens. There's waters out there, folks, in the third heaven area. By the way, when the windows from on high were opened in the day of the flood, and where the waters came through. We'll see how much time we have and opportunity to talk about some of those things. There's a need when it comes to the basic earth science and astronomy issue to understand, like I said, that some changes have taken place since the flood. And the structure that we're putting on the board here right now is going to have some alterations to it once we look at something that took place at the time of the flood. And so hopefully when we do that, there'll be enough time to say some things about the opening of the windows from on high than the waters that came through. But those waters came from it's those right there. It's the waters that be above the heavens. There's water in the third heaven with God. A lot of it's called waters here. Oftentimes, when the word water is used in the plural sense there and everything, it's referring to various bodies of water. Lakes, ponds, streams, rivers, that kind of stuff, seas. We saw the fountains of the waters. We saw that in connection with the blueprint issue there in Proverbs 8. And what we're seeing now is that the blueprint for the earth once again involved the replication of his environment in the third heaven on this planet he's created. And water features are put on the earth, matching water features that exist up there in the third heaven. Now, you know, that's fascinating stuff, and that's where we are right now in our study is dealing with that. But if you think that's fascinating, the issue of how are they going to praise him? Dinosa says, praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens. How are they going to do that? Is there really a capacity within creation for that to take place? Well, obviously there is, because they're going to be called upon to do it. There was the beginning of that when, on the first day of creation anyway, when the morning stars and all the sons of God shouted for joy. There was the preparation for the carrying over of that into creation itself. But there was an interruption in that by the satanic plan of evil. By the way, you can't really understand a lot of the things that a lot of the details of the satanic plan of evil, Satan taking his residence in the sea and so forth, and various things he does with creation, unless you understand that there's a capacity creation has to glorify God. You know, all these, this isn't just figures of speech here. The issue of, you know, the trees, the mountains clapping, jumping and dancing, and all that, that's not just all figures of speech that have no reality to them. That's the issue of taking the expressive manner of our own joy, transferring it over to those issues. But they're going to express joy. Do you ever wonder why in Romans chapter 8 the Apostle Paul comes along and kind of like he personifies creation? Talks about the creature in the bond of corruption and everything. He talks about the creature and creation. And in his thinking, they're the same. Paul understood some things about the capacity of creation. You saw a glimpse of it there in Revelation 21. The city comes down having the glory of God. The city has the glory of God. Creation's got the capacity to glorify God. And it'll do that. And as saved people, we got the privilege of being not only part of that and involved in that, but an instrument for the orchestration of it. And that's really where the greatest value to these fundamental things we're going over in what I'm calling biblical earth science, and that's really where the greatest value for this is to deepen your capacity to appreciate the dispensation of the fullness of times and how everything redounds to the glory of God as the Father of glory in connection with what He's done. Well, just a few comments on that in view of what we see here. But right now, the main purpose of coming back here once again was the waters that be above the heavens. There's water up there. Come back to the book of the Revelation again. Let's look at some of the plants. You know, there are plants in the third heaven. I mentioned the issue of the reed there. We have this white raiment here. Now, these elders are not the only ones in this white raiment. Come on over here to, let's see, for time's sake here, come over to chapter 15 here in the book of the Revelation. As you're heading over there, stop off at chapter 8 also. But get chapter 15 also in your hand here. I believe it's chapter 15 I want. Hold on, give me a... Yep, okay. Before we get to chapter 15, like I said, stop off here in chapter 8. After the seals are opened up, or six of them anyway, verse 1 says, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. That expression, by the way, lets you understand the advancement in the time schedule that had been made and where the seven trumpets begin and their judgments begin on the time schedule. Anyway, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Well, okay, seven trumpets. We're not told what metal they're made out of. They're undoubtedly made of a metallic element. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. All right, there's an altar there once again. We'll see it's a golden thing. And he's got a golden censer in his hand, another object that's made out of gold and was crafted out of gold. And it's a censer, and it says, and there was given to him much incense. Now, here's where you need to have an appreciation for what Moses was told in connection with the building the tabernacle, as spelled out back there in Exodus 25, referred to there in Hebrews chapter 8. Moses built the tabernacle according to the pattern that was showed to him in the mount. By the way, that itself lets you understand and appreciate a numerous number of similarity of features and everything and items and so forth that exist in the third heaven that exist also here on the earth. The tabernacle that was given to Moses was following the pattern of the tabernacle that exists in heaven. The furtherance development of the building complex that was given to David for the temple that was passed on to Solomon and that Solomon built was after the pattern that was given to David of the heavenly temple. By the way, you get both tabernacle and temple. If you don't understand that, it'll cause you a puzzle later on in the book of the Revelation when it talks about the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony of God was opened in heaven. You got the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony. You get all three issues. The testimony is within the tabernacle. Tabernacle is within the temple. That's why the pattern that was given to David for the temple that he passed on to Solomon there has a lot more building complex to it than the tabernacle did. Anyway. But when you understand that pattern issue, you also understand that dimensions were not the only issue of similarity. And orientation, on geographical orientation, was not the only issue in similarity. That's why there's north, south, east, and west on north, south, east, and west up there too. But the similarity of materials and the recipe for the incense that was given to Moses for the incense and everything that was not to be duplicated, used for any other cause. That there's a matching incense in heaven that the angels use. Same recipe. Most of the materials that made up that recipe of the incense on the earth come from plants. Frankincense, myrrh, and so forth there. Those plants exist in the third heaven as well. It was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, the ultimate goal, which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, it's burnt once again. Which came up with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. He's holding that golden censer. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it unto the earth. Into the earth, pardon me. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And that sets the stage for the next set of judgments that takes place and everything. But those plant materials that the incense made out of exist in the third heaven. Look at some other issues. You can go back and study out the plants and everything that are made. You're here in I should have actually had to stop off at chapter 9 here. Pardon me, chapter 7 here, before we go over to chapter 15 there. But verse 9. When John's given to see the end result of the day of the Lord and the ones that come out of the great tribulation and everything like that. So it says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now that's in connection, once again, preparation for the Feast of Tabernacles, where they have the palm trees and the palm fronds and branches and so forth. Well, John's given to see this in taking place before the throne of God. These guys got palms and palm trees up there. That's why when you're dealing with the images of likeness in the tabernacle and everything, and only have the cherubims woven into the veil and things like that, the cherubims on the walls and so forth, especially in the temple that Solomon built, there's the engravings of the palm trees that are there. And others too. Almond trees, pomegranates. Come over to chapter 15 now. Verse 5. Here's that verse I was referring to a moment ago. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle, the testimony in heaven, was opened. If you don't understand and appreciate the multiplicity of that building complex and everything, you get kind of befuddling. When Moses was given the pattern for the tabernacle, David was given the pattern for the temple. And yet, it's kind of like one smaller box inside a larger box issue. Verse 6, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girdled with golden girdles. Well, there's the gold we're familiar with again. They got clothing. They got this golden girl around their breast and everything, but they're clothed in pure and white linen. Their raiment is pure and white, linen. John doesn't say it looks like, I think that's what it is, but I can't be sure. He says that's what it is. Linen is a cloth made from flax, and flax is a plant. Flax plants up there in the third heaven. Well, go to chapter 22. Look at something that came down with this, with the heavenly Jerusalem when it comes down. There's a tree, a particular tree that's there. It has been on the earth once already. Revelation chapter 22. Verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which beareth 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Like I said, that tree of life was on the earth once already. God put it there in the garden. Came from up there. Took it back up there too. It'll be on the earth again. But that tree belongs in God's palatial residence. It bears fruit and everything. Plants aren't unique to the earth, folks, but there are plants on the earth because the earth is unique in creation, being the designed residence of God in the midst of creation. And therefore the earth has features, an environment to it that replicates and is similar to the third heaven and has the same kind of things in it. One more thing about plants. Come over to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. The angels eat the grain of a particular plant that grows in the third heaven. Psalm 78. Man ate of it for a period of time. Israel did. It's called manna. Psalm 78. A man is not a plant that grows here on the earth, naturally. Manna has been on the earth in God's dealings with Israel. And that's why when the manna came, as described back there in Exodus, they didn't know what it was. They had to be taught what it was. It looked like it looked like coriander seed, and sweet, tasted like honey. But it wasn't a plant that naturally grew on the earth. Here's where it came from, and here's what it is. Psalm 78, verse 21, therefore the Lord heard this, a review of Israel's history here, at the time when they came out of Egypt, and was wroth, so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God, and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above, and opened the doors of heaven. Once again, another one of the openings there. He opened more than one. He opened the doors of heaven. And had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent the meat to the full. Manna is the corn of heaven. Corn's a grain. Manna is the grain of heaven. It's a plant. It grows. It's produced as the grain of a plant that grows in heaven, and the angels eat the grain. That's what their food is. Man did eat angels' food. The angels grow it, tend it. We saw the issue of God making fields on the earth in accordance with the blueprint. The fields up there, undoubtedly, in which this manna grows. Now, that's a fascinating thing by itself. You can go off onto a lot of things in connection with angels eating, spirit creatures and everything eating, and so forth. Sometimes that causes people problems. Usually, and as in most cases, the problems are caused by ignorance in some manner or form. And that's usually the case here. But Asa doesn't come along here and say this thing was like angels, that we believe the angels might eat this stuff or what he comes along and tells you exactly what it is. And of course, it's God the Holy Spirit speaking right through it and telling him that this is what it is. That's another plant, though, that exists out there. And that's not a plant, like I said, that grows on the earth, but the plant that exists up there. Other plants exist on the earth in similarity to the plants that are up there. Let me have you, for the few minutes we have left here, come back over to Ezekiel chapter 28. I mentioned the issue of the Garden of God, Eden. And I told you how I believe in Ezekiel 28 here, the issue is not the Eden, the Garden of God on the earth, but the Eden, the Garden of God on the earth that is spoken about back there in Genesis chapter 2. Is the replication of the Garden of God and the Eden of God up there in the third heaven. That is the particular environment and grounds for the heavenly Jerusalem building complex and everything. And the God duplicates that on the earth here in preparation for bringing that down on the beams of the chambers that have been laid there and everything. And we're not going to have time to go over all that right now. I'll say a few more bits about it at the beginning of the next lesson. But in view of that being the case, a garden, once again, is a place that has a lot of plant life in it. And it's designed to be an ornately decorated, beautiful environment type thing for as part of someone's residence. And there's not only plant features and everything like that to it. There's also everything is pleasant to the eyes. But you'd also have the water features and things like that. And Eden, the portion of the dry land that God called Eden and then planted the garden eastward in it, was a replication of the section of the third heaven called Eden, with his garden in it and with his palatial residence in it. The place that Paul cites there in 2 Corinthians 12, paradise. And we'll pick it up there and examine that a little closer next time. Well, once we get done with that, I want to have us look at that's the issue, or the basics of the issue of God taking the earth from its without form to its formed state, and the formed state is a replication of his third heavenly environment on the earth in preparation for his residence being brought down on it. But the Genesis 1:2 said the earth is without form and void. God does something that makes it so it's no longer void. He populates it. And there's some creatures that he populates it with, and there's some counterparts between those creatures and ones in the third heaven. And then once we deal with that, we'll take a look at the alteration that has taken place in the heavens and earth of creation, an alteration that took place in connection with the judgment of the flood that not only affected the earth, but the heavens as well. And then once we do that, we'll focus upon the heavens a little bit in connection with that and get our basic biblical astronomy, as I'm calling it, down. And we'll see how things go from there. But we need a couple more things to look at, like I said, in connection with the replication of God's environment on the earth here, as far as appearance and form goes, and that's the paradise issue. And we'll look at that next time. Until next time.